away for the Tomiko Cheltenham Gold Cup. Special Tiara wins the Queen Mother Championship at the fourth attempt.
One for Arthur, it's holding on, brilliant, and it's one for Scotland.
This is the race that I've always wanted to win. This is the race that's in my heart.
One flight to go, Noel Feely can wait no more.
This is Love the Jumps Extra from the Jockey Club.
Hello and welcome to Love the Jumps Extra. I'm Abby Sawyer. Now, following the sad news of the death of Malcolm Jefferson, we are replaying our interview with him that was conducted by Jonathan Deutsch. Malcolm talks about his early days and what he likes to look for in a jumper.
Malcolm, many thanks for having us round and letting us talk to you on behalf of Jockey Club Racecourses. Do you want to start by, first of all, just giving us your background? How did you get into racing in the first place?
Well, I lived in Cumbria, and when Gordon Richards moved there, I worked on a farm and we used to deliver the milk, but I was always interested in horses. So I asked for a job there and I started, and soon after I went there, I got the job as travelling head lad because I could drive. Because the lad would used to do the driving, he moved up to head lad. So I got travelling head lad and I travelled there for 13 years.
And memories of that time, happy?
Oh yeah, we had some great times because there was some great bunch of lads them days, you know, like Ron Barry and John Joe and David Golden and Neil Doughty. You know, they were all, you know, one come after the other. Ron was there when I first went, and we had some great times together. And the lads stuck together more then because hardly anyone had a car. You know, it was, so the local pub was really the meeting place. And no, we had some good fun, we had some good laughs, and there were a lot of good lads, you know.
So you learnt quite a bit about racing and quite a bit about life as well.
Yeah, I think a bit about everything, a bit about drinking, a bit about socialising, and, you know, about life, really, yeah.
And Gordon, as a trainer to work alongside?
Gordon was Gordon. He loved shouting. You know, if anything went wrong, it was everybody's fault. But, you know, like myself and Ron Barry, we knew how to handle things, walk away, let him shout to himself, really. But that was the old way them days, you know, that it was best never to say anything, really. Like, we always found that answering back was never a good idea, anyhow. So we used to just walk away, and Ron taught me that. And John Joe was the same. Neil Doughty, he had big problems because he couldn't help himself by answering back on the news, you know, but it was all part and parcel of the racing them days, you know.
So you obviously learnt a bit of diplomacy then, by the sound of it, which I guess would have served you well during the last 30-odd years training yourself.
Yeah, I just find that the quieter things are, the better they are, you know. And, when I come to Malton here, Jimmy Fitzgerald was still on the go, and he could make the air turn blue at times, but I never find it really. I don't find many positives in that myself. I think the more negatives.
So you first moved here to Newstead Cottage in 81?
Yeah, 81, 82, yeah.
First winner later on that year, you know much about that?
Yeah, it's Mark Edelson, he won at Perth. I bought him in the mayor sales at Doncaster. Ken Oliver, when I moved here, I moved with a few promises and none of them really came up. And I went to Doncaster sales, and Ken Oliver was one of the main men there, and he come up to me and said, buy yourself three or four horses and you can pay us when you sell them. So I bought four. Mark Edelson, who was the first winner, horse called Venturer. Horse called, we named after the place Newstead, them three all won. And another one, he was a bleeder. So out of the first four about out of Doncaster, three of them was winners. Mark Edelson went on and won 10 for us.
And when you set up and started doing things your own way, were you vastly different in how you approached it to what you'd been working alongside?
Well, Days Gallops was different to Greystoke, because Greystoke was it was an estate, so we had, they were great. It was a great place to train Greystoke in them days. This is a great place now. It's improved vastly since I first came here, with the gallops and everything. Where the gallops are brilliant now, where the wood chip when I first came, and they weren't in the best of health. But we've changed things around over the years, and myself and Maurice Camacho and a couple of other trainers who run the gallops, we invested in Martin Collins's gallops, and we have two, a mile and a quarter and a 6 furlong pulley tracks.
Why train racehorses and why train National Hunt racehorses in particular?
I've always liked National Hunt horses. Always, we had nothing. Well, we did have a mixture at Gordon's, and I did have a mixture when I first started here. I had some very good flat horses at one time, but when jumping come all the way year round, we same as all got out at flat horses a bit, and we only have an odd one now. But I had some real good flat horses at one time, some especially staying ones, won the Zetland Stakes with High Debate, and we just got touched up in one of the group, first races as 3-year-olds at Newmarket. One of Henry Cecil's beat him in the neck, so they were good horses, and Tankra Sun was a very good horse, and Desario finished 5th in the Eber. We've had some good flat horses as well, but we same as all we've worked. And I suppose I also bought them with the idea that they might be dual purpose as well, because I used to go to the ledger sales, and there was always horses in there that I could buy, because they weren't sharp looking 2-year-olds. They were just nice horses with pedigrees but might need a bit of time. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a person who could give a horse time if he wanted,
So you describe yourself as a patient trainer?
You have to be if you want to. If you want to get the best out of a horse, I think you've got to be able to, just sometimes you have to turn them away. I know Desario, he was a big horse. He was a very well-bred horse. He was sold at Newmarket as a foal for 8,000 to an Irish chap. And I bought him at Doncaster for 2,000, a maiden bid. He had a lovely... He was out of a mare called Prize Penny, which was a good mare. Mm-hmm. And but he was a big horse by Camden Town. He was a tall and he was weak. And I never ran him as a 2-year-old. As a 3-year-old, we ran him once or twice, maybe 3 times, and he ran well but never won. He should have never won one day at Carlisle. I think there was one day we should have won with him at Carlisle. Mark Birch rode, had a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I said to Mark Birch, I said, if you can win on the 2-year-old, Desario will have a double. And the 2-year-old won a 10-1, and Desario was a bit of a keen horse, and he set off to start with Mark Birch, and he was supposed to go down the course, turn around and come back. Set up down the course, and I think it was 1 mile. And when I looked through my binoculars at the start, I could see this white thing lathered in sweat. and he got beat that much. In a photograph, he just got nodded on the line, and he was a keen horse. But after that, he did win 3 or 4 races off the trot, and he was a damn good horse. He wasn't a real good horse, and as I say, he finished 5th in Deba, and following week he went to Beverly and won Charles Elsley. He was a fair horse.
And you mentioned that jumping, going all year round, do you regret that as a trainer, or does that bring you more opportunity then?
I don't think it brings you any more. No, I personally myself, I would have probably been old fashioned. I would like to have that six weeks break. I just think that it gives everybody a bit of a breather, really. But things have changed, haven't they? Who would have thought we'd have raced on Good Friday? But we do,
Yeah.
And if I live long enough, we'll probably race on Christmas Day as well.
And your relationship with owners, I mean, if you're a patient sort of trainer, do you have to forge relationships where you kind of get that in first, and you know, you're having to say to people, don't be rushing me to be running him X number of times? How does that work? You're looking like you're going to give me a diplomatic answer again here, Malcolm.
Well, the thing is that we like to run them when the horse says you can run them. If you have a weak horse and it's telling you you can't, because they usually tell your horses, if you go for a horse too soon, he backs off his food. If he backs off his food, you're wasting your time. So it's all a thing of bringing them on. You know, you can do so much with a young horse, and if he backs off his food, you might have to go easy on him for a month. You go easy on him for a month, he thrives in himself, and then you start again, and you're probably a month earlier then, because you've backed off him. You've let him, instead of getting him down, you've backed off him, so he comes back strong, you know. But it's all, I've been very lucky over the years. I train for the same people I started 34 years ago. And the ones I don't train for, what I trained for 34 years ago, is somebody I didn't get on with, someone who's gone to racing, or some of them were up above looking down on us.
So, the suggestion from all that is that people are obviously pretty happy with what you're doing.
Well, I think the jumping game's probably, well, when I started, I rather think that you get probably more patient, loyal people in jumping. The flat, the same as, I suppose flat racing's like that. Flat racing's about 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds mainly. You know, if they're good enough to win a derby, you get your lads with, like, the handicappers as well. But, you know, flat racing's always been about, I know there's some great trainers up north there, you know, would train on the flat and have a lot of good horses, but they're always looking for that real top-class 2-year-old, really, and where us, we're looking for that horse that might go and win at Cheltenham, and they don't happen overnight.
So, you mentioned the derby as a pinnacle on the flat. Is it about Cheltenham for you?
It isn't about Cheltenham, but of course everybody likes to have a horse good enough to go to Cheltenham. Everybody likes a grade one horse, very, very hard to come by. You know, you can go out and spend as much as you like, but you don't know what you're going to get at the end of the day. I buy what I like, and what I like, I'm very expensive, because that's the way I've worked all my life, you know. The dearest horse would ever come into this yard, I didn't buy him, but I went to have a look at him to see if I liked him in France, was a horse called Dibia Times, which belonged to Ray Anderson Green. Was a very, very good horse. I think it was about 80 or 90 grand. He won for us, and then he started investment vessels, and that was him.
What are you looking for when you're buying?
I like to look at a horse that I like to look at. A horse that I think looks genuine, good type, nice bone. Pedigrees are only in the book. A racehorse is a fellow you look at. And that's why I won't buy them. I never try and buy a pedigree, because I know once you start to, you know, I know the horse that's going to make top price anyways. And you go to sales, and if he doesn't make top price, that horse with a pedigree, there's something wrong with him anyway. So I just look at the horse. But, we always have nice types. But that's, you know, I have an eye for what I like, sort of horse I like to train.
Do you prefer then to have a horse from the start and to shape it from the start, or are you just as happy taking any that other people, you know?
Well, if someone rings you up to take a horse, well, of course you're going to take it. I don't pinch horses off anybody, I never have. But if someone rings you up and says they have a nice horse I want to train, or someone's moving house and they're moving this way, and they want a trainer, that's how we tend to get a new owner, because I think the type of people we train for don't shift about very much anyways. And I think the National Hunt owners, they probably don't. You know, they go to somebody that suits them, they get on with, and unless circumstances change, a lot of them stay with that trainer, you know. And then you get people who want a smaller yard. You get owners with like a big yard where it's very fashionable and this, that and the other, but some people like to be in a yard like this.
It's a fantastic place you've got. You've obviously put up, you know, the fruits of your labours are here for all to see. But there's a lot of criticism around, for example, at the minute about the lack of prize money in the sport and that sort of thing. If there was
you know, one thing that you could change about National Hunt racing, would it be prize money? What would it be?
I don't think it's all National Hunt racing, because I can watch, you know, like prize money, yes, of course it's important. I think it's important at bottom level, you know, the bottom end of it. And I think if prize money was better, I think we would have a lot more individual owners. If it wasn't for the syndicates and things like that, there would probably be a lot less horses in training today. You know, there's an awful lot of syndicates would have, you know, in both flat and jumping, and more so in flat.
So what's the thing that sort of drives you? Is it improving a racehorse? Is it winning the next race, simple as that, or is it winning the big ones?
I think as far as owners are concerned, they're like, regardless what anybody says, any owner who owns a horse likes to walk into that winner's enclosure.
You mentioned everybody likes to have a good horse, Dato Star. What, well, Christmas hurdle, two champion hurdle trials, a couple of fighting fifths, pretty good.
Yeah, he was a very, very good horse. He just, like, he was first British trained horse to win Bumper at Cheltenham. But he was a very, very good horse. But he never had any luck at Cheltenham after he won Bumper. We took him back 2 or 3 times. And things just never went right for him there, but he was still a damn good horse. But he never really got the ground he liked. Like, on heavy ground, he was just about unbeatable. You know, he just loved heavy ground. He could bloody set off in front and gallop from start to finish, you know.
So you wish the festivals were in November and December rather than in March and April when he was around?
Well, when I was at Gordon Richards, Cheltenham was always hog deep. We had good horses there. We had two good horses, Titus Arts and
Playlord.
When them two was there, they were both good enough to win a Gold Cup, never ever got the ground, neither of them. Like, Titus was, like, he won all big races, but he could never get ground at Cheltenham. He was always too heavy. And I think the year Playlord, I think, the year Playlord ran into him, Watermills maybe won it. I don't know, either that or Titus when they ran in there. But he used to always be bottomless, Cheltenham, in that time of year. And then when I had Dato, it went to nowhere. And I don't know what it is these days, because every time I go, if it rains, it seems as though nobody knows which part of course to gallop on, you know.
You had a couple of good days there not that long ago with Cape Tribulation and At a Glance, and of course following up both of them at Aintree as well. People are quick often to say, you know, these are great training performances, and I'm certainly not going to question that. Would you consider that to be the double-double, to be your greatest training achievement, or is it something else completely, maybe taking something that you don't expect to win much of anything and really improving it?
Well, we've had horses, what we've got would have improved, but it was great. Like, I suppose really it was some achievement for two horses to go to Cheltenham and win, and then go to Aintree and carry top weight a piece and win again. It was like, was really like, was unbelievable, really, because although they were in great fettle, to think that they both carried up weight and win again was just about, if somebody had said they'll do that, you nearly said, don't talk, stupid, because no horses had ever done it before and probably never do it again. You know?
So, did you have any kind of quiet thoughts before they both ran at Cheltenham that, you know, this could be on, or was that just far too much?
Well, they were in great nick when they went to Cheltenham, like, and I suppose in a way Cape was on a handy sort of weight, Trip would suit him, he was a good horse, and Dennis O'Regan gave him a pitch of a ride as well. At a glance, that you know, he had done nothing wrong all season, really. You know, he'd been campaigned pretty hard. He went there, he just got in because he won at Market Race, and he needed that penalty to get into the race at Cheltenham. Well, he needed to go up to get in at Cheltenham anyways, and he went in, he won, and but he was a good little horse on decent ground, you know. He did need decent ground, him. When they went to Aintree, and I saw them both going past stands, I didn't think either of them would win because they were going that fast. They were both off the bit, but they both stayed on. you know, and like at a glance at 11, 12, second house at 10 stone, you know, but I think it was great for me, it was great for the lads, great for the owners, you know, the... We had a good party after, you know.
I'm going to say, you said you learnt a bit about drinking back in the old days. Did that come into play then that night?
Not that night. We had a party in between. And it's a good job we did, actually, because we had a party after Cheltenham. Because it probably wouldn't have happened after Liverpool, because we lost the little house in Grand National. So it would have probably... It would have brought back maybe too many sad memories if we'd had it after Andrew. But I just thought it had gone that well that you were nearly... Because in this game, you always know that when things are flying, there's always something or somebody somewhere going to spoil it.
Which brings me on to Sirius Darius.
Yeah.
I mean, cracking win at Aintree back in April. Comes out in September and wins your novice chase, and then out for the season. What's it like? What's it feel like that when you've obviously got, I would think pretty, you know, great hopes that you've got something here, and then once again you've got a setback.
Yeah, I had it with Dato 1 or 2 years. We've had it with other good horses, you know, like. That's the difference between a small yard and a big yard, because in the big yard there's always another maybe would might be able to take that fella's player, and here it's horrible really, but it was only minor and he'll be back next year.
Just looking in from the outside and looking at the horses that you've had, and we've talked about some of the real good ones, but he potentially looks to me as an outsider as though he could.
He could be a grade one horse like Data Star was, yeah. He could be. And probably would have been. And probably still would be. You know. Just one of them things, but. In good horses, usually, are the ones that do get injured. I don't say that because at Perth, I think it might have been at the water jump where he maybe tweaked something, and then he made a mistake, 3 out at open ditch. But them sort of things you don't know, and they don't actually didn't tell us next day, and because he had made a mistake or two in the race, which was to me, I don't know why. Well, I know a little bit why he did, but he shouldn't have done because he was so good at home, you know, and it was a messy race, and I think when he went to water, we don't have water jumps at a lot of courses nowadays anyways, but when he went to water jump, he wasn't going really quick enough to get over it, and he landed in it nearly every foot. I watched it so many blinking times that every foot landed in, like you don't usually get front feet landing water, but he splashed with every foot, and whether he tweaked some of that fence or what, I'm not quite sure, but anyways, because he had made a mistake or two, we got his back checked out next week, and then he had two little canters, and on second canter he just had a little bit of heat in the leg, but it was there, and we just pulled up there. And
you wouldn't take that chance with any horse, let alone a...
No, with any horse. No. A leg's a leg. A tendon's a tendon, yeah. And they all need time. If they get a tweak, the thing about them all is that if you go too far, you make a bit mess. If you catch them very early, you can often get them back a lot quicker. You know, it didn't break down. He had a little bit of heat there, and he'll get rested until next year.
So he'll be back next
he'll
season?
He'll be back in next season.
Mm-hmm. And what would you be thinking of?
Well, the thing is, he's a handicapper now because his wound is not his chair. But the thing is with all horses is that he's a novice chase, he won, he can't give him a really big high mark because he didn't beat a horse with a high mark and he only won as well. Mm-hmm. So that's one good thing, because if I had a grudge against handicapping and nice horse and things, and I never think that every good hurdle makes a good chaser or a bad hurdler doesn't make a good chaser because every horse is different. But a good hurdler that goes chasing, if he happens to win first time out, he's happy to get the same mark as he had over hurdles, and I think that's wrong, completely wrong. I just think it's just a stupid way of handicapping horses because it doesn't give them, you only can sort of run in a couple of novice chases and then you go handicap and you're taking a nice young horse against experienced horses with nearly top weight, and I think that's just stupid.
I've got him down on here as 141, is that right?
I think they did give him the mark, yeah.
Yeah, so opportunities already handicapping next year are going to be tough, isn't it, to find out.
Well, that's it.
To get experience.
That's the thing, because if you win a race, you go up seven. Mm. You know, before you know it, like the way he jumped at home, I'm not really, you know, he was very good at home, and I don't really know what, you know, just anyways, it happened, and it was a bit messy the race, and we've ended up here, and we'll have to, you know, we will well manage.
Just a couple more I want to ask you about. Oscar Rock. And Pair of Jacks.
Oscar Rock went to Cheltenham on ground. He doesn't like that sort of ground. And I found out that he won his first hurdle race here and he won very well. He went to Newcastle against a good horse of Ian Williams, but went on and won again at Cheltenham on good ground. And then we run him on soft ground. And to me, he doesn't like soft ground. Already he'd won a bumper in every year before on soft ground, but personally myself I think he's a good ground horse, and he won the market race on good ground, and he was quite impressive as well, and he won't run until ground comes dry again.
Okay, so spring?
He's a spring horse, he won all his races last spring anyway. Mm-hmm. And he was unlooking up to win four in a row really.
And he's off 155, so what are you thinking?
We'll just say, because now there's some decent races about, and I think, like, personally myself, I think he maybe, like, that was 2.5 miles, he wasn't stopping at races, and so he maybe would get 3 miles one day on decent ground. There is races, but there'll be races for him at festivals if ground's good, yeah.
And is that the same story with Pair of Jacks then, because he was doing most of his
Pair of Jacks actually picked up an injury.
And, all right.
An injury would, we haven't really, we think he's okay now, but it's just been a time where he went to two lots of vets and nobody could really pinpoint what it was. He was laying behind, but we think he's okay, but he won't come back in until spring anyways because he likes good ground. But he's quite a nice horse, isn't he?
Yeah, it certainly seemed to be. Is there anything else without us, you know, coming back, knocking on your door in 6 months' time saying you've told us that one, but is there anything else you're particularly looking forward to that maybe we've not seen yet or not seen much of?
Well, there's some nice horses, like, you know, like there's some nice young horses about, some that hasn't. Like Trevor Hemmings is, he's a very nice horse, Cloudy Dreams. Double W's is a lovely horse, and they're just young horses. Captain Sam just got beat at Doncaster last week, a lovely young horse, you know. But there's quite a few of them, you know, like there was a lovely filly one, etc. The other day, trotted on. You know, there's some nice young horses, but things have to always keep going right for them. Like, you know, Sun Cloud, Further the Clyde, but the handicapped up to the, you know, the, like Further the Clyde ran a nice race at Kelso to the day, but what we find is somebody like Paul sends one up, Paul Nichols sends one up, getting weight off us. We've won two races in our lives, you know, and you're giving them weight. And we, for some reason, northern jumpers can get bloody clobbered by a handicapper because we don't beat anything, you know. There's a lot of time you beat nothing, and they'll give you a £10 prize. And, you know, I can take some of them horses south and they'll get lapped. You know, they would. You know, and it didn't. Handicapping is supposed to keep them together, isn't it?
Supposed to finish on a dead heat on the line, are they not? Yeah.
Well, that's what they're supposed to. But...
Okay. Well, with the promise of Sirius Darius hopefully to come in the future, plus one or two of these others, you've still got plenty to look forward to. If let's just finish by asking you, really, if there was one race that you could pick that you most want to win, what would it be?
The next race I would love to win would be tomorrow at Newcastle. That's the one I would like to win more, and then we'll think about next and following week, you know, because then everybody wants to win a big race, a grade one race, of course we do, but if I lose a horse tomorrow, say if we lost a horse through an accident or something like that, that box of mine might stand empty till next year. A big trainer would have won in it tomorrow morning. It doesn't happen like that with me. You know, we lost Enchanted Garden the other day. And, you know, where the bigger trainers, the horses coming out of the, you know, like, they'll have a team of horses ready to move in. We don't have that.
You've been a great sport, Malcolm. Thanks for having us round.
You're welcome.
This is Love the Jumps Extra, brought to you by the Jockey Club, putting all profits back into British racing.